Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the ninth Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses told the people, "Take these words of mine into your heart and soul. Bind them at your wrist as a sign, and let them be a pendant on your forehead. I set before you here this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing for obeying the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today. A curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way I ordain for you today to follow other gods, whom you have not known. Be careful to observe the statutes and the decrees that I set before you today." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, be my rock of safety.
Lord, be my rock of safety.
In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me.
Lord, be my rock of safety.
Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead and guide me.
Lord, be my rock of safety.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your kindness. Take courage and be stout-hearted, all you who hope in the Lord.
Lord, be my rock of safety. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, though testified to by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned, and all are deprived of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace, through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood. For we consider that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock, and everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, Brian, and everyone else.
And we're actually in the same room for the first time in a long time, Dawn.
It's very strange.
Yes, it's been over a year, and we said it's kind of funny because we're sitting here and just looking at each other and laughing all of a sudden because we're so used to doing this over the internet.
Anyways,
Dawn, did you have thoughts or anything on any of these readings?
Well, on the gospel reading, it sort of got me to thinking about when it talks about building a house on sand, I naturally think of sandcastles because I'm a little kid at heart. And, you know, if you've ever been to a beach and you're watching kids, they like to build the castles near the edge of the water because the sand's compact and it's nice and easy to build. But eventually a wave comes and knocks it down. And so an adult will say, you know, why don't you build it up further? But it's more work to build it up further when the sand's not hard and you have to bring more things, and so it ends up happening again and again. And so it reminded me of these readings and our life in general that for a lot of us, it's, well, for me anyhow, sometimes I just want to do the easy thing, and the easy thing isn't what God is asking me to do, in my opinion. And if I had just done what God had asked me to do, my life would be a lot more easy at that point.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy there. A lot of times it isn't, you know, and that's something that we talk about a lot on this podcast. It's not always easy to do what it is that Christ calls us to do or what God wants us to do. And yet that is what we are called to do. And I think with these readings, Christ is kind of pointing that out. It's not enough just to do lip service, to say, you know, Lord, Lord, or to call him Lord and say, well, when I did all these great things, they were all done in your name. You know, I cast out demons in your name. I caught that winning touchdown pass, and I thanked Jesus for allowing me to catch that touchdown pass or something like that. Because that's just giving him lip service. That's not really living according to his commandments. And ultimately, Jesus does tell us that, you know, he wants us to live according to his commandments. That's kind of what he's saying in that whole image that he's giving us with those, with the house that you mentioned there, that build it on rock is like when you listen to my commands and not just listen to the words, but actually do what I tell you to do. And elsewhere in the gospel, we hear him say, you know, you are my friends if you do what I command. And so I think there is this whole thing where we need to not just have faith in Christ or say that we have faith in Christ, but we have to do something about that as well. And I think it can become a little bit confusing because in the second reading, we hear St. Paul tell us that, you know, that the law means nothing, that doing the works of the law means nothing. It's all about faith in Christ. But really what we have to understand is what is it that St. Paul is talking about there? And what he's actually talking about is the Jewish ritual laws. And what he's saying is by following the letter of the law, that's not where salvation comes from. Salvation comes in the form of a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And that's certainly what we say too, is salvation does come in the form of a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And we have to attach ourselves to that person somehow. Somehow we have to associate ourselves with that person. And the way we do that is by following his commandments and doing what it is that he has asked us to do.
Well, you know, this weekend we had a teen retreat, and we have these little affirmation bags and people can stick notes in it. And yesterday I was reading my notes, and the Steve Angrisano was the guy who came to lead our retreat. And my note, he wrote something that he probably writes to a lot of people, but for the moment it really struck me. And he said, you know, keep answering God's call and the rest will sort itself out. And that's something I've been struggling a little bit with lately, and there's so many possibilities. And I realized how true that was. I mean, answer what God is calling to you at the moment. Don't worry about every little detail that could possibly happen. Just answer the one thing, and everything will sort itself out from there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually really good advice for discernment in, of the spirits altogether. I talk a lot of times when people ask me about my own vocation story or what advice I would give to somebody who's discerning a vocation to priesthood, religious life, any of that kind of thing. The advice I usually give is to settle down and just take it one day at a time.
Right,
because when you look at the whole picture, it's too much for anybody to handle. And I think it's the same thing with a couple that's looking to get married. A lot of guys I know typically have commitment phobia and things like that. But a lot of it comes from the fact that if you start to look at the whole big picture, even when you're, you know, dating somebody and you're sitting here saying, well, I've got myself married, I've got three kids now and everything, you start visualizing that and how is this going to work out, you'll never be able to survive that. But what you need to do is say, take it one day at a time, you know, one moment by moment, say, what is God calling me to do in this moment? And gradually, you know, you find that what he's done is he's called you to take a step forward, you know, for 10 miles. And you look back and you say, wow, I was 10 miles away, you know, just a little while ago.
Right.
So it is, it's that slow, gradual process. Take things one day at a time, one moment at a time, rather than all at once. And I think that that is actually something that's really powerful.
Well, I tend to be that obsessive person like you were talking like before, because even when we're talking about building on rock or building on sand, I think, well, am I building everything on rock? Am I doing it right? Is everything right? And if I just did what you suggested about slow down and just be quiet for a minute. And that's an important part of being quiet and just listening. We're so busy and having constant input into our ears and into our sight that's a real challenge for me, is just to be quiet and listen.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have another question. In the second reading, there's a word, it's expiation. And I like saying that word, but I'm wondering, can you give us a little bit of what it means or how is it related to in this passage?
Okay. Well, expiation is a word that actually it's frequently used when we talk about another big word, soteriology.
Oh, boy.
Which is how we are saved, the study of salvation, if you will. And that's actually what I like to focus a lot of my studies on. So I actually love these readings today because they are all about salvation, too. but expiation is the atonement or the reconciliation, maybe, between humanity and God. It's how we're reconciled with God, how we're brought into that right relationship with God. And so that's what, according to Paul, you know, Jesus has done for us. That's we refer to that a lot of times as objective soteriology. That's the work that Jesus has accomplished for humanity. And then there's something that we call subjective soteriology, and that's kind of what the second reading is, the gospel reading is about, is subjective soteriology, which is what do we ourselves do to participate in Christ's saving work? And that's where it comes in. You know, it's not enough just to say, Lord, Lord, or to say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But that has to look like something. Belief in Jesus mm-hmm. has to look like something. And what it looks like is the way we act and treat one another. And as Christians and as Catholics, we need to look different than everybody else out in society. A lot of times we have this idea that we should blend in with society and try to look like society. But that's not what we're trying to do. What we want to do is hopefully make society look like us, if anything. Mm-hmm. But we want to stand out and say these are the values that we hold. And the way that we show that is through our actions, of course, not just by saying it or preaching. You and I can sit here and talk on the podcast this weekend when I give my first homily. It's going to be a lot of words. But if I don't have any actions that support my words, first of all, my words mean nothing. Nobody's going to believe me if I'm, you know, a real jerk in life when I come out and preach these wonderful homilies. The second thing, though, is that I'll be like the person who Jesus says, I don't know who you are. Get away from me. Or, mm-hmm. you know, you're being condemned here. So we need to make sure that we somehow participate in the work of Jesus. And I think that can be really tough to do as Americans because it's so different. In America, you know, we believe in this kind of rugged individualism. Mm-hmm. And right. Christ is more about communal salvation and community and sharing and being concerned about the needs of one another. You know, in America, we kind of have this unrelenting quest for wealth. Whereas,
right, yeah.
again, Christ would tell us, you know, we need to deny ourselves of material goods and focus on our spiritual lives and our relationships with people. So it can be a real challenge at times. Although at other times, things do go hand in hand. I don't know if you got to hear any of Father Moll's homily. Actually, you did, because he did preach on the retreat. And he talked about how, coincidentally, the Feast of Corpus Christi, the Body and Blood of Christ, fell right on Memorial Day. So in both of these, we're kind of remembering people who have given their lives for something we cherish. Obviously, hopefully we cherish salvation more than we cherish our freedom, but salvation is a freedom. It's a freedom from sin right. and death. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we celebrate Memorial Day, we're celebrating, you know, freedom from oppressive worldly powers. So in that sense, I think there is a real parallel there. And sometimes, you know, things do fall together. But it's those times where it doesn't that we have to be able to stand up and not blend in with the society.
Which is, like you said, sometimes a challenge and sometimes not. But getting back to your, you just mentioned that your first homily, because this is the weekend that you will be ordained a transitional deacon.
It is indeed.
And how are you feeling about that?
Well, I still have a lot of work to do on the homily. That's it. Maybe I can just press play and play the pod. If I hold the podcast up to the microphone,
that sounds like a good
that means
idea.
That I didn't get my homily finished.
So you've been sort of preparing. You knew this has been coming for a while, but right now, do you feel nervous or, I don't know, any strange emotions?
Oh, all kinds of strange. I will say this week has been, actually the last few weeks has been very tiring. And I said spiritually, and I haven't told this to you, and now I'm going to say it to the whole internet, I guess. This is kind of scary. But you really feel that you're not making friends with the devil by doing this.
Right.
And I've had a lot of things happening. I've had some very weird dreams. I've been waking up, I can't sleep well through the night, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that it is kind of the influence of the devil who really doesn't want me to do
right,
this.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I said if I'm going to make enemies, I'd rather make enemies with the devil than with Jesus Christ.
That's a very good idea.
And I found that it's also enhanced my prayer life because I've been a lot more intentional about my prayer this week. I've been going to confession. I went to confession last week. I've scheduled to go to confession right before I'm ordained, so that'll be good as well. And I found that I've been really relying on the Blessed Mother and the saints a lot in prayer. Last night, I was in bed and I couldn't fall asleep. I was just kind of restless and everything, so I grabbed my computer and played the Litany of the Saints about five times. So in that sense, it's been a real grace, too. It is something, though, that I'm looking forward to, and then hopefully I'll be able to sleep a little bit better after everything is said and done on Saturday, and hopefully everything will go well.
Well, we, too, will continue to pray for you and
thank you.
For God's protection for you. And
yes, and anybody who's listening to this who's not going to be at the ordination, 10:30 on Saturday, if you say a prayer, it'd be much appreciated.
Definitely.
Well, I think we're running out of time here, so I'm going to thank everybody for joining us this week on your Sunday Reader, and hopefully they'll be back next week when I'll be on as a deacon for the first time.
Ooh, that'll be exciting.
Have a good week, and God bless.